also want to welcome everybody online. Thank you for tuning in this morning. It's a beautiful day in Southern California. You know, I want to highlight a couple things. You know, we ask you to participate every year in Operation Christmas Child, so we always like to give you the results, and this was a banner year. Almost 1,200 boxes were provided by you all here. That's a lot. That's 1,200 kids. That's 1,200 gospel presentations. That's a huge impact. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your participation. Also, many of you prepared a box online, and there could be hundreds there. We don't know. We don't get a head count on that. All we do is can count what's physically here. And also, you saw that we were the receiving center with this semi-truck in the parking lot, and that truck pulled in about, receiving for South Orange County, about 2,200 boxes, which means you covered more than half that went on the truck compared to South Orange County, so good job. Also, many of you jumped in and helped out. Literally hundreds of you, 110 I think was the head count for those of you that helped out manning that truck. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your hours. A lot of moving parts with this project. I know Shelby was involved with a lot of the coordination, as well as the team. Even Anna, they got involved with the children's ministry and teaching our kids how to pack boxes so they get used to understanding what it is to minister to kids around the country. But that leadership all comes to a point under the leadership of Dave Buckin. So thank you, Dave. He has been faithful and committed for decades, I want to say. You probably know the exact year, but I'm just going to say decades. So he's been committed to this ministry, and it's just kind of wild when you think about that amount of time and that amount of boxes and the impact it has on kids. In fact, I was just looking at my calendar. I have a Zoom meeting with Yves Duchesne this week coming up, who is one of the kids that received one of the boxes in Africa, who is now doing ministry in Virginia working for a missions organization. So God bears fruit, and it's pretty cool. So that's the debrief. Thank you. And we'll just keep praying. Keep praying for those boxes because now they're en route. And praying for the kids that they have divine appointments with the Lord and are blessed as well. So, if you were here a couple weeks ago, you know that we talked a bit about wine in terms of the complexities of what it takes to make a bottle of wine. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. It's clearly a farming situation. It's not like other alcohol beverages out there that are just made. I mean, you have to have crops, you have to grow, you have to, you know, the type of grapes, to the weather conditions, to, you know, how you care for it. And when you harvest, you know, how you barrel it and age it, and the age of the vines and the age of the wine. And there's just a lot of complexity to it. But the reality is it does come down to the harvest. Right? No grapes, no wine. That's the reality of it. Some grapes, some wine. A lot of grapes, a lot of wine. And that's what every winery wants. They want the bumper crop. They want the big harvest, because what does that lead to? Bigger profits and more success. You might be going, why were you talking about wine last week or 2 weeks ago? And it's because Jesus did. He brought up the topic of a vine or a vineyard and branches and how they grow together and how they become fruitful as an illustration for what it means for you to be spiritually growing and become spiritually fruitful in your life, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And he uses this illustration. Why? Because it was a very relevant one for his disciples at the time. They're Jews, Israel. God used to refer to Israel as its vine in the Old Testament. There were vineyards everywhere. It was their normal drink. As beer is to the Germans, so is wine to the Jews. And so this was a very normal thing for them to think about. And Jesus used this illustration to encourage the disciples in their last meal together. I've entitled this morning's message, Bumper Crop, and we're going to look at how to achieve personal spiritual growth, part two, which is basically following up on a couple weeks ago when we had part one, and this illustration of a vine and branch and how that works. Again, much like the illustration, there can be some fruit, there can be more fruit, or there can be that bumper crop. And Jesus specifically relates to the bumper crop, so to speak, in our passage here this morning. By way of review, though, I want to go back to 2 weeks ago, because we're in mid-sentence. Jesus is talking to his disciples, encouraging his disciples. They were struggling with what they knew was going to happen. Jesus was going to leave. They were struggling with who was he going to leave them with. Well, Peter, probably he's the natural leader. Now they found out Peter's going to deny Jesus in 24 hours. Well, at least we'll get Judas. He's got the purse. He's got the money. He'll keep us float. Oh, wait, Judas betrayed Jesus. So their world was falling apart. And Jesus is trying to encourage them that don't think it's falling apart. Don't think it's over. Don't go back to your old religion, your old ways of approaching God. Stay with me. And so this whole stay with me, abide in me, remain in me language is what Jesus used as it relates to this illustration of a vine and a branch and you and me and our relationship to God. So in verse 1 of chapter 15, this is review, Jesus says, I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So this old idea of about a good branch, bad branch, non-Christian, Christian, but then the Christian's going to bear fruit, and God's going to want to prune this branch so it bears more fruit. Cut off things, remove things that aren't helpful, that are getting in the way of growth, that are sinful. And so we talked about it last time, that if we're going to spiritually grow, know that it's not always going to be a pleasant experience. Know that it's not always going to be easy. A lot of times we think of spiritual growth, we think, oh, this is great, a blessing to me. No, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. If the branch could shout an emotion when it got pruned, it'd probably be ouch. It wouldn't be, oh, thank you. No, it'd be, ah, well, it's for your own good, right, kind of thing. So we talked about that, because that can be a misnomer when it comes to spiritual growth. Like, oh, spiritual growth, it's a blessing, you know. You guys working at the church, it must be a blessing. You just dance around and praise God and sing worship songs. And, you know, it's like, there's pruning going on. There's pruning going on. So that's important. But he continues and he says, abide in me. Again, this language, remain in me, stay with me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So stick with me. Don't bail out. I am the vine. You are the branches. Says it again. Whoever abides in me, says it again, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. So not just fruit, but more fruit. For apart from me, you can do. Okay, if anyone does not, here's the flip side, abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into fire, and burned. So I want you to see that there's a lot of this, if you abide, then I, if you, then me. So there's this if thing. There's this idea of a choice. And so this is super important when we talk about spiritual growth in our lives. If we're going to grow in our walk with the Lord and truly grow, it's going to take effort. It's going to take a choice. You're going to have to say, okay, I want to do this. It doesn't just happen to you. You have to step into it. It's a condition based on your decision. What does that mean? That means that you're as close to Jesus as you decide to be. You go, I don't feel close to the Lord today. Well, that's your decision, because he's right there. And so we talked about how this is going to take work. Won't always feel good, but it's going to take effort. And this is kind of usually where we deuce out. It's like, I can attend church, I guess, on the weekend. I can give it that effort, but anything more than that, not so much. But we'll talk about that more in a second. But that's review. That's review. That's not always going to feel good, and it's going to take some work. So now let's pick it up. Jesus is still talking. The language is still the same. The metaphor is still in place. And he says, if, highlighting the choice again, you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Ask whatever, that's prayer, and whatever you pray about, it'll happen. Wow, that's a pretty amazing guarantee. More on that in a second. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, not just fruit, but a lot of fruit, bumper crop, and so prove to be my disciples. It'll confirm your Christianity. Everybody will see what's going on because of the bumper crop of spiritual fruit that has taken place in your life. Well, what's the key here? Well, he changes it, right? The key is, if my words abide in you, which is interesting. Jesus was constantly teaching his disciples for 3 years, day in, day out. During the day, during the night, when they'd hang out, when they'd have casual time, when they'd have formal time, they were constantly learning from their rabbi, from their leader, from their Lord, from their teacher, whatever ID you want to put to Jesus, ultimately from their Savior. And we saw in chapter 14, where Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to teach you and remind you of what? My words, the things I've taught you. Now, here's the deal. Me and you did not walk with Jesus for 3 years. We didn't live with him. We didn't travel with him. We didn't hang out with him. We couldn't have casual conversation. We couldn't have formal conversation. The only way we know of his words is in our Bible, what we hold, the New Testament, in particular, the Gospels. Which means that if we know that, that is going to be the key to this bumper crop of fruit. If we don't know it, then we won't. So he gave the disciples the Holy Spirit to remind them. Nothing was written down. Today, you and I have it written down. So this becomes critical when it comes to spiritual growth, personal spiritual growth in our life. Number one, we got to continually study the Bible. If you're going to experience spiritual growth and God, a fruitful life, a fruitful Christian life, you got to ingest the Word of God. You got to read the Word of God. You got to study the Word of God, because by doing so, his words are going to remain in you. No words, no remaining, no fruit, no growth. And that's the way it is. Hebrews 4:12 talks about this as it relates to God's word. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Wow. So, the Bible that you hold in your hand or see on your tablet or whatever, on your phone, or however you're seeing the word of God today, is a supernatural word. It's not a dead ancient document. It's supernatural, which means it's dynamic. It's moving. It's active with us. And so it's important that we're moving and active with it. Paul put it this way when he told Timothy, all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. He may have a bumper crop. What is that? That's the Bible. That's what it's there for. It's breathed out by God. Do you know the picture of the Holy Spirit? You know, we picture the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, they didn't have that picture. They had the Ruach of God. They called it the Spirit of God. And this Spirit was like, the literal Ruach means breath of God. And so there's this connection between God's word being breathed out under the inspiration, we say, of the Holy Spirit, that we have for us, that if the Holy Spirit lives in us as believers and we're reading God's word that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, there's going to be this deep connection. There's going to be this incredible remaining that'll take place. But we got to open it and we got to read it. Look how important it is to the Apostle Paul. a guy who wrote to Timothy his final letter, 2 Timothy. He's in a Roman prison. His life is not going to continue once he's executed. And look at what he asked for Timothy to bring with him. He says, when you come, bring this cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. The parchments are scripture. Which ones? We don't know. Are these ones he's written? Don't know. Are these Old Testament ones? Don't know. But they were so important. He's like, yeah, bring my coat because it's cold here. But above all, don't forget God's word. I need that. How much more do we need it? And here's the thing. I know when I say that, continually study the Bible, 100% of you are probably going to go, of course. That's not new. Right? I mean, I'm here Sunday morning. I'm online. I'm studying the Bible. I'm not here because you're going to, you know, do magic tricks. So I get that. But do we really get it? Do we really get it? Because I think the issue for us in terms of spiritual growth has to do with consistency. Just recently had a blood test. And, you know, my numbers were okay in some things and not so okay in other things. And so you gotta change some things. Take a few supplements, adjust what you eat. Now, if I did that little adjustment and what I eat every other week, how much of an impact is that gonna have on my health? None, right? It's consistency. Take those supplements daily. Make an adjustment daily. Don't eat 15 donuts, eat 5, right? You see what I mean? You can't, it's gotta be, it's consistency for physical health. And over 6 to 8 months, then we'll take the blood test again to see how we're doing. It's not one day. Okay, I'm gonna make myself healthy, I'm gonna eat healthy today. What, blood test tomorrow and everything's not healthy? Right? It's consistency, same spiritually. If all you're getting is some of God's word one day a week called Sunday and there's nothing else there, don't expect a lot of growth. It ain't gonna happen. It's not consistent enough. Remember, it's the vine and the branch. It's gotta stay there, it's gotta stay connected. He's saying, man, if my words abide, and by the way, he said, your prayer life's gonna be super effective. It's gonna be answered. Why would it be answered? As opposed to not having God's word in. What does that imply about what you're going to learn in God's word? How to pray. You're going to learn what are God's will, what isn't God's will. And all of a sudden, the things that maybe you're asking for God for, you're going to go, man, it's supposed to be thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I keep praying for my will. I got to adjust that a little bit. Maybe God's not giving me things because I'm not even looking at what I'm asking him for and they're not good for me, like a parent with a kid. Kid keeps coming, can I have another piece of candy? Can I have another piece of candy? Can I have another piece of candy? After a while you go, no. They're like, you don't give me anything. No, it's not good for you. And when does the child understand that a piece of candy nonstop is not good for them? When they grow up and mature. So as we mature in our faith, as we grow in God's word, we'll learn better how to pray, and our prayers will be more effective. That's why Jesus made that promise. Does that make sense? Okay. Overwhelming yes. So here's the deal. Let me give you a couple encouragements. Study the Bible. Try to make it interesting. This shouldn't be an assignment for, are you kidding me? Really? How long do I gotta study the Bible for? It can be interesting if you have some study tools. You have a commentary or two to what you're studying. Do you have a topical Bible, maybe a study Bible? There are resources out there that can take that passage and expand it a little bit and make the context a little bit, do what I'm doing basically, to where you see it in a little fuller perspective. And quite honestly, it becomes more interesting. So if you don't have some tools, get some tools. That may be a way. By the way, we'll provide you a list of tools if you're interested. Here's how you do it. Go to our website. You'll see two buttons when you open our website, in person, online. Click on online, scroll down, and it'll say sign me up for resources. And you get yourself on that list, and we'll send you a list of resources this week to consider. So make it interesting. Number two, I would recommend small goals. Say, you know, I'm going to take this to heart. I haven't seen a lot of growth in my life. Yeah, when I look back, I don't really see God's word abiding in me. I'm really not putting forth the effort there. So I'm gonna read God's word every day this week. You could use on the back of your worksheet daily devotions, but if you decide not to do that, that's okay. Start reading through the gospel. But just what I'm saying is set a small goal. Don't say, oh, I'm going to read the Bible every day now for the next year. It's not going to happen. Try to get through the next week. And then regroup and think how that was. And you will find that the things you look at and the things you study happen in everyday life. You read something about something and you're like, wow, I was just reading about that this morning. Here I'm dealing with it at work, or here I'm dealing with it at home, or I'm dealing with my neighborhood, or I'm dealing with in my relationships, or whatever. So regroup on that. And then the last thing I would recommend is journal your prayer life. This is a good indicator of how it's going for you as well. Here's what I did. I'm not a journal person. Some of you are naturally journal people. I'm not. So I have a Word document on my desktop. It just says life events. And the things that I pray about that are significant, that are, you know, there, I've been journaling, kind of talking to God. Lord, I pray that da-da-da-da-da-da, my son's wedding, da-da-da-da-da-da, and thank you, da-da-da-da-da. I just kind of just stay it out. Not long, two or three things. And I've been doing it 15 years. When I look back, it's like, wow. Not only did I forget that, but how God resolved that, what took place, super encouraging. Versus just hit and go, hit and go, hit and go, okay? So maybe include some study tools, set small goals, and journal your prayer life. That's all about continually studying in God's word. All right. Jesus continues. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Notice it's not abide in me now. Abide in my love. How? If, oh, a choice again, you keep my commandments, plural, not one, plural, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Interesting. So, the focus has changed a bit. It's not just have my words abide in you. It's not just remember my words, learn my words, study my words, or as our point says, study the Bible. It's now do what it says. Take it to heart and put it into action. If you keep my commandments, not just learn my commandments, but put them into action. So this goes beyond Bible study. This goes beyond to the application of Bible study. I put it this way: how to achieve personal spiritual growth, make obedience the goal. Make obedience the goal. Studying the Bible isn't the end game. Listen to this. Studying the Bible isn't the end game. It's the process towards obedience. And this is, I think, where we miss it the most. Christendom in general. We think if we know, we're going to grow. Knowing's a first step. You can't grow in what you don't know. But the growth has to do with obedience, and obedience engages us with the Holy Spirit. And when we're engaged with the Holy Spirit, we'll remain in the vine, and we will have that bumper crop and bear much fruit. I like how James puts it. James puts it in kind of this imagery, but it's clear. He says in James 1:22, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who, come on, acts, he will be blessed in his doing. He will succeed, bumper crop. So there's kind of a warning there that we can deceive ourselves into thinking if we learn something, then we're going to experience spiritual growth. Mm-mm. How many of you watched college football yesterday? Amazing. If you don't like college football, it doesn't matter. Yesterday was incredible. It was kind of the week where all these rivals are playing, right? Georgia is going to play Georgia Tech. Alabama, Auburn. Yeah, Alabama game. Did you see the Alabama game? I mean, insane. I'll just give you the snippet. 35-yard line. Alabama's down to Auburn. Alabama's rated eight in the country. Auburn's like 4-6 or something. Auburn's ahead, so major upset. 35-yard line, Alabama has the ball, fourth down, 25 seconds left. It's over. All they gotta do is hold them to this one thing. There's three guys on Auburn's team coming at the quarterback. The rest are just downfield, just don't let them complete a pass. I mean, people are going, oh, maybe they should, you know, kick a field goal and then try an onside kick and try to get it, because they weren't, anyway, incredible. He threw a con, I mean, just bap, they won. I'm not even an Alabama fan. And then Ohio, Michigan, did you see that? And then Washington plays Washington State. They almost lost. And then who was the other one? The gold team, let's see. Huh? No, not the Longhorn. Texas, no, I don't know. Anyway, it was an incredible day. And you could talk about the quarterbacks. You could talk about the Heisman candidates. You could talk about the coaching decisions. I mean, it was a crazy day. We could do all that. And it doesn't make us a football player. We can know about the game. We could talk about the plays. We can interject about our opinions. We could debate whether this versus that, but it doesn't make us a football player. What makes you a football player is you got to get on the... And this is what can happen to Christianity. We can know about Jesus. We can talk about Jesus. We can debate about Jesus. We can share insights and thoughts we have about Jesus. But if we're not on the field of application of God's word and obeying him, we ain't nothing. And this is, I think, the big miss. Because we stop at the knowing. We think if we know much about football, then we're actually the football player. You're not. And we think the more we know about God, we're growing. You're not. You're not. If you keep my commandments, that's it. So I think this is the big swing and a miss. And here's the other thing that's going to happen. I could go on this forever, but we feel pretty good if we know ourselves. And we kind of stop there. Here's how it goes. Oh. You know me, dude. I can kind of be a hot temper. So, you know, when that happened, kind of blew a lug nut. Or, you know me, oh, man, I can have that temptation to, you know, if I'm feeling depressed, I'm going to be drinking way too much or I'm going to be spending way too much money. Yeah. Right? Yeah, I mean, you know me. And we stop there. Well, if you know, then it's time to grow. If you struggle with anger, don't just accommodate your anger and assume just because you know it's okay and you're moving forward, it just means you know. Remember, the end game isn't knowing, it's growing. So how do we work on anger? How do we work on medicating? What are steps we can take? Because that's where the growth is going to be, and that's where the bumper crop of fruit in our lives will take place. Let me read to you a little short snippet. It's not comprehensive, but it's a short snippet of the fruit of the Spirit. Just to stick with the metaphor, fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Let me just stop there. We learned 2 weeks ago that if you abide in the vine, you'll be blessed with peace, the shalom of God. So that's a gift. So you don't work on peace. Next time we talk about this, you'll see that joy is a gift from God. You don't work on joy. It's a gift if you remain and abide. The rest of this list, you'll work on. It involves other people, like love, like patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ remain in him, have crucified the flesh, ouch, that doesn't feel good, that's pruning, with its passions and its desires. And if we live by the Spirit, so there's the obedience piece, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So when you look at that list, a real simple approach to spiritual growth is to say, yeah, I think God wants me to work on this area. And you have a goal. You have a play to be on the field. Do you have spiritual goals? Based on that list. Maybe it is patience. Maybe God's going, I want to prune a little patience. We got to work on patience because you're impatient. It's your way of the highway. And so maybe that becomes your goal. Lord, I want to be a more patient person. I want to remain in you. I know that's in your word. And I want to step into it. So help me do that. And you'll find that God will give you a lot of opportunities when that becomes your focus to work on patience and expose it. That's just one. You might look at another one and say, kindness. Yeah, when I look at that, I go, not super kind. Kind. Slowing down, talking to people, caring for people, trying to understand people. I kind of just move quick through life. I don't slow down. Maybe that's an area that God wants me to work on. Lord, help me to be kind. I'm going to work on kindness today. Before I leave church, I'm going to try to be kind to people on the patio and not grab their donut. I don't know. But you see what I'm saying? Maybe you slow down. Rather than zipping out and getting in your car, I'm going to talk to a couple of people. Just try to be kind. See what that feels like. And maybe God will show me that, okay, that's something I can work on. That's going to be my game plan on the field of kindness this week based on his word. Could be truthfulness. Could be your world is half-truths and manipulation, and you know what? That's something I need to work on before the Lord. Be a little more transparent. Be more upfront. Share how I feel, not how you are. I don't know what it is for you. But if you just, and by the way, Galatians 5, there is a daily devotion on the back of your worksheet, in case you needed to know that. But if not, whatever your Bible reading is, you want to ask and answer the question, Lord, this truth that I'm reading today, I do this daily devotion, not daily, well, it is, I guess. It's called Scripture of the Day on K-Wave. And I'm on it about once every 4 weeks. They ask me to be on it, but it's daily. And it's Scripture of the Day. Pretty cool little thing. And all it is when I'm on it, or any pastor gets on it, they just basically share a passage, but literally in 2 minutes. hey, I want to encourage everybody with this passage, here's the passage. He'll say, can you pray for us? We'll pray, and we're done. We go to Facebook Live, and you can hear more discussion. But at the end of the day, that's all it is. Scripture of the day. What a cool thing to have. What's your scripture of the day? And how does God want you to step into it? But here's what you do. You read the scripture, and you say, God, now what does this look like for me today? With my wife, with my husband, with my kids, with my grandkids, at my work, in my neighborhood, in my golf game, on my vacation, whatever. And that's the remaining piece. And then we'll be in God's love. Wow, that's amazing. So spiritual goals. So I want you to be encouraged, though, this morning. And it's with this truth. Bumper crop vineyards, they take time. They don't happen overnight. Somebody that plants a vineyard for the first time takes, what, 5-6 years before there's any harvest at all? But then after that, the harvest is annual. It's not hourly. So be patient with yourself. You're not going to get this overnight. This is a practice. You're not going to win the NCAA overnight. It takes practice. It takes hard work. And ultimately, to keep the metaphor going, for wine and vineyards, it takes effort, it takes work, and it takes time. But to never step into it, like I said, we started this way, and I'll just end this way. You're as close to Jesus as you want to be. And in every spiritual fruit that shows up in your life, as you abide in the vine, has seeds for more fruit. Lord, I thank you for that truth. And just as we ponder these truths in light of our lives, and just I just think of how this was an encouragement to the disciples, that they could still have a relationship with you, they could still be connected to you, remain with you, interact with you, even though you physically were gone, just like we can have that right now. But this whole remaining, abiding prospect, Lord, I just pray that some of these things have been cleared up, that we know it's not going to be easy, it's going to take some work. Ultimately, we need to come back to your word, but then not only there, but apply it in our lives. And so may we step into that this week in new and exciting ways. Lord, that we would be a fruitful church and be fruitful people collectively and individually, and ultimately grow in our faith with you. We thank you for these opportunities and these truths in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.